Blog Talk Radio.
Conservative Talk on Principled Conservatives Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're going to be your co-hosts for the far, far future.
Yep.
And tonight. You know, not just way out there, but tonight.
Yeah.
Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Hey, by golly, I'm just ducky. We had rain today.
It's winter outside my place.
I'm sorry. It's 40 degrees here, and I got stars out, but it rained today, and I've got maybe a half an inch. Thank you.
It's going to rain over the night.
Yes.
It is, in fact, about 40 degrees here.
Uh-huh.
We have a brisk 25-mile-an-hour wind out of the north.
Ooh.
That has a whole lot of slicing and dicing in it.
Uh-oh. Yep.
So
the wind chill's down in the
20 something.
Ouch. You going to get snow tonight?
No.
Is it going to get that cold? No.
It's not going to get that cold. It's going to pretty much about as cold as it's going to get.
Got it.
So it's just going to pretty much stay where it is and not get much warmer tomorrow. So
oops.
We just got a little bit of a cold spell here before we get back up to around 50 over the weekend. So.
Oh, hey, that'll be golfing time then.
Yeah, no. Clubs our way. I have put them away for the season.
That's it. Okay. We'd be done with golfing.
I have washed my towel. I have tossed the visor because, the sweat rot is just...
Yeah. Put the lucky socks in the wash and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So that's the way it shall go.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about it. It's November. I'm not a big cold weather golfing person, so...
Mm-hmm.
If I could have gotten someone in October, I think I got two in October. So that was fine. That's kind of not too bad.
Yeah, that's good.
The weather has changed enough that Freckles is spending more time outside at night. Silly cat.
Well, good gracious. Your cat hasn't ever heard about curling up in front of the fire and all that kind of stuff? I mean, what? What kind of cat you got?
Yesterday she was in the house all day.
Yeah.
Normally she spends most of the time outside during the day, but she was in the house all day yesterday. We got home at 3:40, and I let her out. I took the dogs out, and I was out for about 10 or 15 minutes with them. I came in, I sat down, I logged on the computer, and she came traipsing up onto the deck, which is right near the door where the computer is, and she had the biggest damn bird in her mouth. And I'm sitting there like going, Kat, you've only been out there like, 15, 20 minutes. How the hell did you get a bird?
She doesn't
have front paws. so it's kind of amazing that she did that. She dropped the bird and she came in. I would not let her bring the bird in.
We're not
going to have the bird. Because there'd be a fight over the damn bird.
Of course.
The dogs would go after it. Anyways, so the bird sat out on the deck for most of the evening until I finally tossed it off into the field late last night. But I let her out the front door about 4 hours later.
Yeah.
And went in, went to the bathroom, got the dogs ready to go out, and came, did one other thing, changed some laundry out of the washer into the dryer. It couldn't have been more than 10 minutes. I came out, and she's sitting in the grass in the front yard, and I'm going like, it's windy, Kat. Why don't you just come in? And then I realized she was having dinner.
No, she had the bird.
No! She had a mouse.
Oh, man. You got a huntress there.
You know, she's serious about this stuff.
Hey, good for her. Cuts down on the cat food bill.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it certainly does.
So much time outside, I don't have to worry about changing the litter as often.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
My only problem is that she's barfing all over the place.
Yeah, well, they do that.
Can't have everything, I guess.
No, you can't.
Now, we have done some changing for those of you that are actually listening, all
yeah,
three
yeah.
of us. Those that are listening, we have done some changing. After my little rant of last week, I thought that it was important several things change, and so some of those changes are now in place.
Cool.
We are no longer directly affiliated with the American Conservative Party, however. I'm assuming, Bill, you have retained your membership in such party.
I have.
As I have. The radio show is not affiliated with them and is not directly, you know, promoted by them. We will promote the American Conservative Party as an alternative to Republicans.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, idiots. But in some places and sometimes, you know, I think we'll be perfectly fine suggesting Republicans in those positions.
Some of them.
Gonna give
us, you bet.
I mean, it's going to certainly give me a little bit more freedom. I don't know that you ever felt quite as restricted as I have.
No, I've never really felt restricted.
I've always felt a little bit on the nervous side about doing things, given my history with the party. This makes me feel a little less restricted. I also have a problem. The reality of the fact is that my rant is not, and I have not changed my position from anything that I said last week.
No.
Those are still as strong as possible. I will tell you that on mid-Thursday morning, I feel sorry for him.
Oh, you went off on somebody?
But somebody that I know, somebody that I don't necessarily like a whole lot, which was why I didn't have any problem deciding that this was an appropriate target, said something really stupid to me.
Oh,
you
boy.
Know, he said, not only is Obama doing great so far, there's no doubt anyone in anybody's mind that he's going to be reelected because, you know, the economy's just going to be booming and everyone's going to be thrilled and, you know, he's just doing so many good things in foreign policy. And I just, you know, I just looked at him and I said, are you insane?
Well, now, clarify. This is an eyeball-to-eyeball meeting?
This is an eyeball-to-eyeball
meeting.
Oh,
boy. Okay.
This is somebody whom I know in the neighborhood,
uh-huh.
Does not live within a block or two of me, actually lives about half a mile away.
Yeah.
I see him walking his dog on a regular basis. We have talked because of the dogs.
Sure.
At times, and in fact, that's what we were doing at times. I was out with the dogs. He had the dog. He had his dog. I had two of my dogs, and I said, "Are you crazy?" I said, "You know, he is, you know, the second worst president that this country has seen." And realistically speaking, I'm really contemplating the idea that Jimmy Carter was actually better.
Yeah. I think Jimmy Carter really liked the country. He wasn't very effective.
He certainly had that going for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "What the hell do you know?" Stupid conservative, that will not, admit to the fact that, you know, the conservatives want absolutely nothing to do with you. You're a pain in their ass, and they're going to, that word,
mm-hmm.
you know, over for as much as that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was yelling, and Victoria actually came out onto the deck, and there was only one reason that, you know, it didn't get a lot worse was because the dog started getting upset.
Ah, yeah, yep, yep. They pick up on
his dog started looking, started barking at me, which of course set my dogs barking off at him.
Yep.
So we kept them apart, I went back across the street, and Victoria said, "What were you doing?" I said, "Walking the dog."
Okay.
Lord. I felt better thereafter.
Yeah. Good.
He has seen me twice since then, and instead of walking the rest of the way up towards the house, he cuts across the field.
Does he really?
Yeah. Even when I'm not out, he's just avoiding the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm not interested in actually apologizing to him. He's an idiot.
Well, yeah.
And it was a good, safe place for me to unload off. I didn't burn any bad bridges.
Yeah, yeah,
So that's fine. And if he doesn't like me, who cares? I'm moving out anyways.
Exactly.
So I felt by Thursday night, the last sputterings of ashes had begun to fall, upon the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And I have calmed down. I can speak without actually, sputtering spittle everywhere.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I feel relatively comfortable at this point. I did spend a serious amount of time over the weekend contemplating exactly what I wanted to do as far as the show is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are going to have more places of disagreement in the future.
Okay.
But what you said last week is absolutely true.
Yep.
Disagreement is not hatred.
Nope.
Disagreement is not, bad things. Disagreement is something that is positive. And the funny thing that was echoed by, Miss Palin in the last 24 hours.
Oh, really? Was it? Cool.
She said healthy debate is a good thing. Now, she said it in the context of the GOP. She likes the GOP because healthy debate is a good thing. And, realistically speaking, that's perfectly correct. Healthy debate is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Frankly, I am going to take the American Conservative Party principles. I have printed them out. They are going to be taped up on a little piece of board that I've got here. And I will refer to them on a regular basis. I said this at the time when we were discussing the principles of the American Conservative Party when they were being formulated, that I would use them to beat upon the head and shoulders of anybody that suggested that that a conservative position was appropriate outside of the principles, that I would use those principles upon beating them on the head and shoulders to make sure that they understood that, in fact, the principles were the principles.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The principles are not subject to whim. They are not subject to society. They are not subject to traditions. They are not subject to what is popular, what is nice, what is friendly, what is pleasant, what is good, what is bad. It is simply principles are principles.
Yep.
And they get applied at all times and in all places, regardless of how that result is, in fact, contemplated by other people.
Okay,
I've said this
by me.
To people many, many, many times.
Yep.
Acting in your best interest is not always a pleasant thing.
Sometimes it is not.
Principles sometimes result in policies that you don't like, but in fact are, the natural result of those principles. And so I shall endeavor to do that in a very consistent, principled way.
Cool.
I'm going to say something that's going to be slightly offensive, and, I'm kind of an offensive person, so that's okay. And something, the person said this, my principles are rock solid. My politics are subject to pragmatism, and if I have to live with some bigots in the Republican Party to get my principled conservative positions across, so be it. And I consider that position as probably worthwhile.
Yep.
I said at the time at the ACP that I could not in any way, shape, or form compromise from those principles, compromise from the positions of those principles, that there was simply no way to do that. I had to maintain that. I'm a, a free spirit at this point.
Yeah.
Independent agent.
Yes.
I can be a little bit more pragmatic.
Okay. Yep. I'm seeing where you're coming from. Yep.
I can be a little bit more pragmatic.
Yep.
It doesn't mean that I'm changing the principles or that I'm even changing the position. But as it is suggested, a Congress critter, is primarily not going to be interested in the social conservative positions. They're much more going to be dealing with the fiscal and the national security issues.
Yep.
And in so much as that is true, I can tolerate a certain amount of what I and this other person suggest is, a certain amount of bigotry in their positions with regards to what we consider to be appropriate principles. You know what? I'm not going to sit here and yell at somebody and say, you know what? I think you're a great Republican, a bigot, but a great Republican. I'm not going to get real crazy about it, okay?
Yeah.
But at the same token, I'm going to sit there and shake the hands of some really nice people and say, good job, go after them, get the tax cuts in there, take care of security, but stay where you belong. If you start twiddling off into places you don't belong, because our principles suggest that they don't, but if you think that you're going to win votes by pandering to a certain, electorate, in areas that you don't belong screwing around with, I'm coming back at you. And I feel much more open about, in fact, doing that stuff. That means that, every once in a while we'll have an interesting discussion. But for the most part, we are going to continue to do what we've been doing, which is to lambaste the left, blow Obama's skirt up whenever we get the chance.
Yeah. Actually, that's not so hard anymore.
he has given us, if I was a writer on SNL, I'd be asking for a daily show.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much material there. There's so much material there. And it's amazing to me that they're actually ignoring him. Let's go off onto our first serious tangent here and talk about the shaking of the hand and, the bow, to end all bows.
Oh, boy.
A 90-degree bow, head down, eyes looking at the ground, shaking a hand, to a head of state of another country.
Yep.
Okay. Now, the left has just gone berserk about us going berserk.
Yes, about the fact
that he did it. The left is sitting there saying he's just being respectful. As far as I'm concerned, Obama's ability to be respectful is keeping his middle finger tucked into his hand.
Yeah. Very good analogy. I like that.
Anything else from him is going to be disrespectful. Now, I've read probably, 15 or 20 different articles from both sides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unlike his bow to the Saudi, there's absolutely no doubt in the world that that's exactly what he was doing.
Yep, absolutely. Just no doubt.
There was no doubt about it. Japan is not even running that pitcher.
I guess. That's amazing, isn't it?
Japan,
well, and I can understand why. Given their society, I can understand why.
So they're not running it. So Japan is embarrassed by it. All right. Now, even if you, and of course the State Department says, well, you know, he's being respectful and he's following the protocol that the State Department, you know, established. And I'm sitting there like going, okay, whoever is the moron that's handling protocol in the State Department, fire them now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because they ain't got a clue what's going on.
No. I mean, even the form was incorrect. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
There's a whole lot of different ways to be respectful other than proving that you're a servant. And that's what it is. You know, Barack Obama, maybe this is the area where I don't understand things. Okay, where he doesn't understand things. Okay? He was not being respectful to the emperor.
Exactly.
He...
And in fact, he insulted the emperor.
Well, it's not, it goes beyond... Yes, he did. And,
yes.
It's fairly clear that he did, but, you know, no matter how much anybody's trying to avoid that particular statement.
Right.
I lost the train of thought there.
I'm sorry. I broke in there. Destroyed your train of thought.
Barack Obama, was not shaking the hand of the emperor.
No.
The United States of America was bowing to the emperor of Japan.
Yes.
He doesn't get that.
Nor
you know,
does the left.
He can be respectful to the emperor.
He can
do that. If he wants to do that, that's fine. But he's not there as Barack Obama. He's there as President of the United States.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the President of the United States does not bow, period.
To anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah.
You know... And that's the place where I haven't seen a whole lot of people talking about it in that particular point of view, but in fact that's the issue as far as I'm concerned. You know,
I have seen that comment made multiple times. I have not seen that issue addressed by the left. Other than their assertion that, oh no, he was just showing respect. That was the proper thing to do. That in that society, that's what happens. My rejoinder to one of them was, well, and if that's the case, why didn't the emperor bow back?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Because as a matter of fact, when you saw the one picture that I saw of a president that looked like, in fact, he was bowing to the emperor, okay,
uh-huh.
Was the Nixon picture.
Yes, at the White House.
And, but it is quite clear that, in fact, the emperor is doing exactly the same thing.
Exactly. And Nixon did it with the proper form.
Right.
Hands at the sides, bowing at the waist, with a reciprocal, not a deeper or a less deep bow, but a reciprocal bow.
A respect of two heads of state bowing to each other.
Yes.
Okay? Respectful to each other. Correct. Exactly. And that was the whole point, was the fact, you know, that Nixon and the emperor both bowed at each other. So that was definitely a nod of respect to two heads of state, between two heads of state.
Yes.
Perfectly fine in my opinion.
I think so.
And
in fact, probably gracious of Nixon. I mean, we were on American soil.
Correct. So, You know, but, yeah, Obama just, you know, and, of course, for all of the arguing that Obama didn't do it with the Saudis, you know, that he wouldn't do that, of course, because he knows better than, you know, that
the
American president doesn't bow to, you know, another head of state. I mean, I heard all that.
Yeah.
You know, that he would never have done that because he knows better. You know, none of that argument can be used at this point.
Nope. And because, I haven't seen it made either.
No, they're trying to. The only thing the left is doing is suggesting that we've made it a lot bigger big deal than it should be.
Yeah, right.
And you know what?
Huh.
They're perfectly right.
Yeah?
Perfectly right. In the big scheme of things, this is nothing. Japan is not going to take advantage of this and use it to rub our nose into it. You know, they're not. You know, they're going to be embarrassed about it. They're going to try and forget about it. They're going to try and hide it. They're going to try and ignore it. They're going to try and do their best to you know, eliminate it from their history as if it had never happened. You know, Japan will do everything in its power to try and ignore that it ever happened.
Okay.
There's a certain number of other countries in that area of the world that are going to go, aha!
Uh-huh.
And they're not going to forget it at all.
Nope.
Let's talk about another fuck you that Obama got this weekend.
After one observation,
okay.
Just dissenting just a little bit from your view that this is, in the grander scheme of things, isn't all that big. And my dissent is that the actual act of the bowing isn't, as you suggest, all that huge in the grander scheme of things. The attitude that it evinces on multiple occasions, I think, is a huge problem.
Right. It is part of the pattern of him.
Exactly.
Not just apologizing for America, but, you know, absolutely saying, you know, we're the problem. We're,
yep.
You know. And I'm beginning to formulate in my head. You're right. It shows a continuing pattern of disrespect, you know.
For America.
For us.
Yep. Absolutely. He really doesn't like this country very much.
There was a political cartoon of him bowing to the emperor and Uncle Sam standing behind him going, that's not how you're supposed to do it, and he's saying, but I was bowing to you.
Yep. Michael Ramirez. Wonderful cartoonist.
Yeah. The you know and that's perfectly correct. You know,
yep.
You know he will do whatever it takes. You know, this idea that he's going to improve America's image in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gee, I don't know how.
Yeah.
Because none of this is doing it.
No, it certainly isn't.
It's not making our enemies happier. Well, yes, it is.
Well, it's making our enemies happier. It sure is not our allies. Assuming that we still have any left.
What I quoted, it came from an EU official over the weekend that said, Europeans are beginning to worry that that they have a president that really doesn't give a shit about Europe.
Well,
and I'm sitting there like going, yeah, you idiots. Did
you
wanted him. You got him.
That's right. Well, I guess my only response to that EU official would be, gosh, welcome to the club. We don't think that he really has much of America's interest at heart either.
Yeah. All right. Second screw you that came this weekend or Monday.
Yeah.
I think it was actually this weekend. Let's go back. You and I talked about the F-22 sorry.
Yes. Yes, we did.
When they were talking about getting, you know, canceling the project.
Right.
What a stupid idea it was.
Absolutely.
And, of course, one of the arguments was we need a fifth-generation strike fighter.
Yes.
You know, there are lots of third and fourth-generation strike fighters out there. We have best in the world strike fighters right now. But we need to go ahead and start working on the next generation. And the argument used was that, one, nobody else is working on a fifth-generation strike fighter for us to go up against. So as long as no one else was working on one, why do we need to worry about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well...
Guess what?
On Monday, ahead of you on Monday, China announced the first test flights of its new fifth-generation strike fighter.
Yes, it did.
Hello, CIA!
Yeah.
The hell have you been looking at? They're not in development.
No.
They're damn near ready to get into production.
Yep. Real close. That's generally what happens right after test flights.
So, you know, you sit here and kind of go, okay, what was Gates doing suggesting that there was nothing else out there to worry about? You know, what was the CIA doing? You know,
well, what was the DIA doing? I mean, gracious me, folks. If nothing else, go read Janes. For those of you who don't know who Janes is an organization that compiles military capabilities of various nations. Extremely fascinating reading.
And damn, are they good.
Oh, yeah, they are.
If it's in Janes, it exists.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, if it exists, it's in Janes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I know there's no flying saucers right now in anybody's military.
Because
it
isn't in Janes. That's right, it isn't in Janes. Hey, you know what? On a related note, did you hear about the F-35?
No.
Oh, yeah. They're going to take one or two of them, I forget the Air Force base, and see if they will do vertical takeoffs and landings.
Why?
I don't know.
$1 billion plane.
Well, you would think that if they were flying, because that's supposed to be a fifth-generation strike fighter, you would think that they would, if they were flying, they would be doing something beyond testing whether they were able to vertically take off and land. Tells me that they probably have got some bugs that they don't, that they know about and aren't sure about what they've got to do about it. Which means we are behind the curve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All I can suggest is that my opinion of Robert Gates at this point has taken a significant hit.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Not only Gates. Did you catch General Casey's? I'm sure you did. General Casey's remark about the Fort Hood shootings.
No.
I
know that he made a comment, but I knew people were commenting about it, but I did not catch it.
His comment, and this is not a verbatim quote, but his comment was, as big a tragedy as the deaths of these people are, it would be a bigger tragedy if the diversity of the service was diminished.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I immediately fired off a tweet that said, Dear General Casey, you need to retire now. No service needs a general officer that puts diversity ahead of the safety of his troops.
not just the safety, the morale and the productivity of his troops.
Absolutely. I mean, goodness gracious, folks. And this is a general officer. I mean, good grief.
Okay. Now, you may know this. Maybe other people don't know this. Okay. People say that in the office, people think because you have someone in the officer corps that reaches flag ranks that they have gotten there because of merit.
Hmm. You'd think that.
You would be wrong to think that. Yes, the officers that have reached the ranks below flag have in fact gotten there, for the most part, on merit. They have done so. And I don't wish to diminish the effort that it takes to reach the point to be considered a flag officer.
No, that's...
But once you reach that point, it is pure politics.
Yeah.
Because flag officers are appointed by Congress.
Yep.
Usually it is a rubber stamp of the military's desire. Not always. And you can certainly get on a congressman's or a senator's bad side.
Yeah, absolutely.
And ruin any potential chance you have of making flag.
Yep.
But, in fact, if you're a flag officer, odds are you have become a particularly good, adept political player.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when somebody says, this general that admiral this, and they're talking about politics, I'm sitting there like going, first of all, you cannot assume that because... a general has made it to, brigadier that they are in fact, a conservative military hawk.
Right. Exactly.
You have to look at, what administration was in power for the 6 to 8 years prior to them reaching that rank.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the politics that's going to have promoted that particular officer.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I can only speak about the Air Force. Okay. Be my little general. Brigadier, Major.
Lieutenant.
Lieutenant General.
Or BLMG.
Be my little general. Brigadier being the top, general being the bottom, actually, of the four.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was going the reverse direction, yeah.
Yep. The, is it? Or do I got it backwards? Have I got it backwards? Brigadier is first?
Brigadier is first, that's a one star.
That's right.
Lieutenant is second. That's a two-star. Major is a three-star. And then you got a full general. Four-star.
Okay. 30 years out.
Yeah, I know.
God help me. All right. So, when a senior officer makes all kinds of comments, you can't just assume that they're going to be conservative simply because they are a military officer. So Casey, political animal,
yep.
Came up, did some serious ranking in, Bush, Bush Senior or Reagan, I think put him up at the, were the administrations, but we're talking about a pretty seriously, liberal Congress at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think Colin Powell was such a disappointment, because he absolutely moved up under, Newt's tutelage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clear that he is, in fact, pretty much a dove.
He is. And, to be fair to Colin Powell, I don't know of any serious service person that wants war. Ever.
No, I don't. You know, yeah. That one of the most, you know, one of the most stupid comments coming out of the left, you know, is the idea that military people are warmongers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bloodthirsty warmongers. You betcha. They will do a whole lot of things to try to avoid a war.
Yeah.
Once you turn them loose, Katie bar the door. But,
right.
Whew.
Yeah. You know, my position was, you know, do everything you can to avoid it, but once you do it, just nuke the shit out and let's get it done.
That's right. You betcha. 4-day wars. You know, just.
You know, at this particular point in time, you know, I'm okay with collateral damage.
Yep. I mean, I'm sorry for it, but I'm okay with it.
You know, and of course, there's going to be a whole lot of people that hear that are just going to go,
yeah, oh yeah, 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 yep, yep. Yeah,
hey,
absolutely.
We got 6 billion people, you know,
oh, I know.
See, that's just gonna add into the idea that we're bloodthirsty, you know, hate, you know, warmongers that are willing to kill anybody and everybody. That's okay. That's true. I was getting into some really big arguments over the weekend. Huge arguments, and one person who just came off. Went off the handle, and I was in the middle of something. You know Daniel, right?
Yeah.
Rubber Ducky Daniel?
Yep.
We were just going at it again. Somebody just jumped into the middle of it. You know, and Daniel and I have gone at it about four times over the months. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I get the better of it, but, you know, that's a prejudicial point of view. So I
sure, right. Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, this other person just jumped in, just ripping and stuff like that. And then about 2 hours later came back and said, you know, I don't know what's wrong with you. And I'm like, yeah, go away, little girl. Trying to be all nice and polite and stuff like that. I'm like, get the hell. You know,
yeah.
So the left, I don't really, you know, every time I get into arguments with them, you know, first of all, I admit that I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm smelly, I got buck teeth, I'm a knuckle dragging, you know, hairy-ass lesbian that doesn't know what the hell is going on in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, now, let's get into this discussion.
Yeah.
So,
and those
know,
are my good
know,
points.
You know, so, when, you know, when it gets to the name-calling, you know, it just rings so stupid.
I know.
You know, well, you're a fat old hag.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, right. What
okay.
was your first clue?
You have something to say?
Yeah, right.
That I haven't already said myself?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, you know, get that stuff out of the way. All right. So,
yep.
we've talked about how Barack Obama has, you know, again proven his inability to do anything of consequence without screwing it up.
Yep. He has certainly done that.
And, of course, done exactly the opposite of what he said he was going to do.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the polar opposite.
Okay.
Sarah is on a media blitz this week.
Yes, she is.
And by the way,
I mean the left is just screaming about that.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, I love it. Of course, she's of no consequence.
No consequence. Here it is. Now,
yeah.
I'm going to assume that we have 15 minutes left.
Okay.
I'm going to assume that we have absolutely nobody listening to us.
Okay.
Okay,
kind of like the green room.
I'm going to assume we have absolutely no one listening to us. Okay. And I am going to say this. To the first person that either emails me, and you can't do this.
Okay.
Tracy.coyle@ gmail.com. Or Twitter's me, Tracy Coyle. I will give you a copy of Sarah Palin's book.
Oh, boy. Whoa.
So, I ordered mine today, and I ordered two additional copies.
How cool.
And I am going to give one of them away to the first person that either emails me or Twitters me that they want it.
How cool.
You have 15 minutes to do that. It does not work on the podcast. Na, 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 na. Ask me in the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't count otherwise. Now, I'm pretty safe in feeling that I don't have to worry about giving away that extra copy because one of those extra copies because there's nobody listening.
Is that right?
I don't believe anybody's listening. I am not going to go look. I'm not going to go look.
I know that Trav isn't. He said that the communist county of New Jersey does not seem to allow Blog Talk Radio. So. And I haven't gotten anything from Just Me Tammy that says she's listening, so. I don't know.
All right.
But that's okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just everyone remember that I have two. Just keep that in mind. I have two.
Yep.
All right. I think so far I have not seen the Oprah.
I haven't seen it. I've heard it described somewhat, but I haven't seen it. I didn't see it.
I didn't hear her on Rush today.
Aha. Went up
obviously,
on me.
I'm not seeing her on Hannity tonight.
Nope. She's going to be on O'Reilly for three nights beginning Thursday.
Well, seeing as how I got 8 petitions in the last 24 hours.
Oops. You might be a little hard-pressed there.
I'm going to be busy for the next couple of days.
Yep.
So, which is a good thing, because it was awful slow last week.
Yeah?
I only had like 4 petitions last week.
I'll be darned.
Which is fine.
BKs were up nationwide. Foreclosures hit a record in the third quarter.
Yes, but it'll actually be picking up now and will for the next 10 days or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Going into Thanksgiving, we'll actually pick up pretty strongly. And then we'll balance out for the balance of the year.
Ah, okay.
You know, because people are dealing with holidays and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They really don't want to do this.
Yeah.
You know. It really depends on how things work. People that will be doing it now have no choice. They have to be doing it now.
Ah, okay. I can't wait. Okay.
Right. They got no choice in the matter. They have to do it.
Yep.
And our mortgage company simply stopped calling us on November 1st.
Did they really?
8 phone calls on October 31st.
And
8
then nothing.
Phone calls. On the 1st, nothing.
Wow.
Not a peep out of it.
Huh.
I thought that was rather interesting.
Yeah.
So,
huh.
You know.
I mean, these were messages that were left, or did you actually talk to them?
We talked to them in the sense that, you know, yeah, we know the payment's due. No, we're not making the payment. Yes, we know that'll be a bad thing.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to do it. So,
hmm.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Well,
money's in the bank. I mean, if things change.
Well, I'm not expecting that.
I'm not expecting it either, which is why we're doing what we're doing.
That's right.
So,
if I was making a house payment, I think I'd be doing pretty close to the same thing.
Well, you know, if we were staying here.
Yeah.
I'd certainly be making the payment.
Well, sure. Yeah,
even
yeah.
Underwater, there's no reason not to continue to do so.
Yeah, right.
You know, because, first of all, obviously we want to continue to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this case, you know, we're ending the process. So,
yeah.
Kind of
yep.
Neither here nor there. So, All right, where are we? Oh, time-wise, where are we? 10 minutes.
I don't know. We were almost starting to talk about economic things. But
we were kind of getting into the economic things.
Yep.
What was? Where's my dollar? I want my dollar.
It's in the mail.
All right.
Okay. As soon as you email me your actual address, so I can send it to you. Oh, wait. No, I don't think you have to. I think I've already got that in an email.
All right. So let's talk about going forward here a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have an expectation of where you think unemployment's going to be? Do you have in your mind a peak, or do you have an idea of where you think it might be over some particular time frame?
Here's my guess, and it's really based more on gut than anything else. But I think it peaks at 11.8.
Exactly the number I have in my head.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Based on everything that I'm seeing, I think 11.8 is probably going to be the number that it's going to peak at.
Yeah.
I think
that that's going to hit probably sometime in the third quarter of 2010.
September, October?
Yeah.
About a year from now. We will actually have to wait until, this time. I think November or December before we actually see it.
Of 2010.
I think we might actually have to wait into all the way into December to do it. I think what we're going to do is we're going to hit. I think we're going to get to 11.4, 11.3, 11.4, maybe even 11.5.
Mm.
Really, really fast, probably by late spring, which will be just absolutely rocking the boat, something terrible.
But then
I think it's just going to be, really small incremental steps, a tenth of a point, no real change, tenth of a point, for like 4 or 5 months, before we finally peak out. And then there's a real possibility that we might flip over to 12, in the January, February, March of 11.
And that's going to depend on, I think, the elections, the off-year elections.
I think what's going to happen there is that will be a true lagging of any change.
Yep,
absolutely. We're not lagging at this particular point.
No, I think it's pretty...
We're pretty close to real time. Yeah, we're still heading downhill with the accelerator stuck on full.
Yep, we certainly are. Incidentally, I posed the question on Twitter. Let me pose it to you. I did that earlier today. And I'm wondering if anybody has tried to do a correlation between the value of the dollar, the value of the stock market as expressed by the Dow Jones, and the value of gold. I'm thinking that there's a correlation. That, yeah, our stock market is climbing, but it isn't climbing in relationship to the dollar.
Well, you're actually looking at three separate, values of things.
Yes, I am.
Values of what may be exactly the same thing.
Yep.
Three different ways to value the same thing. So there's going to be a correlation whether it's actually,
Well, yeah, I was thinking more of a time series of correlations. Take it from the value of the dollar at the lowest part of the stock market and then track it up month by month. And do the same thing with gold. And I'm thinking that because of the because of the decline of the value of the dollar against other currencies, that yes, our stock market is rising, but that's only reflecting the devaluing of the dollar and the increasing value of other currencies. And I'm thinking that the price of gold is doing the same thing.
Well, you know, I'm at this particular point, valuations as far as the stock market is concerned, and I think even to a certain extent gold is concerned, I think are disconnected with disconnected from reality pretty strongly at this point.
Yeah.
You know, I read something over the weekend. It just, I'm sitting there like going, okay, I'm either missing something really important here, or I'm really dense. Because somebody said, you know, when the stock market was at 10,000 7 months ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was at 40 times earnings and it was overvalued. But now that it's at 10,000 now, it's at only 18 times earnings and it's better valued. And I'm sitting there like going, something is not right there.
No, it isn't.
The suggestion would be that earnings have dramatically, you know, projected earnings
increased.
Have dramatically improved
right.
over the last 7 months. And frankly, I don't know how. You and I have talked about this in the past.
Yep.
And, you know, my friend Tom Bloomer continues to do so. You know, we've had, you know, rather substantial increases in retail sales. But if you look at the states, they're dying.
Yep.
Sales tax collections are falling through the floor.
Yep.
Income tax receipts are falling through the floor.
Yes, they are.
You know, and they're talking about increases in personal income and increases in retail sales. It's certainly not showing up in tax receipts. And frankly, that doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't to me either. And in fact, number of hours worked has also gone down.
Right. So it just doesn't, this is looking at the China economy saying, you know, China's growing at 8 or 9%, and you know that's a bunch of hooey simply because electrical consumption is down, you know, growing like at 3%.
Right.
You're going, well, if the economy's growing at 8 or 9%, electrical consumption's only growing at 3%, something's not right there. Because I can tell you right now that China's not that efficient.
No, they aren't.
You know, they are not showing 6 and 7% productivity growth on top of an 8 or 9% general growth. You know, that's 15% growth.
Wow.
No. It's not happening. So. And what was the big productivity jump? You know, that didn't make any sense to me either. They said that we had like a 4% productivity growth in the third quarter, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, really.
What? I said, you know, well, it would have to be if GDP went up, you know, 3%, but actually inflation went down. You know, actually it did deflation, so, you know, you have to wonder where the question, you know, that would make a whole lot of sense. But the numbers are just not right. Something is not there.
Well, because the 3.5 number is a cooked number.
Cooked number.
So if you're gonna try to compute efficiency based on a cooked GDP number, then yeah, you're gonna be wrong.
You know,
I mean, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, numbers are really nice things, you know.
Yeah, lies, damn lies.
Exactly.
Kind of, you know, my bailiwick, and, you know, I just don't see where it's going, and it is driving me crazy. It should not be the way it is, but it is, and so it's just driving me crazy.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Well, a shout out to all of our non-listeners there.
Yeah. I heard you breathing out there.
Yeah.
All right, so we're on our way into our second version of Weekly Conservative Talk Radio. And we hope that you're not listening this week. You will listen next week.
Yeah.
Be around. Who knows what I might be giving away next week.
Ooh. Hey, that was a big deal. I didn't see any tweets. I don't know. Did you get any emails?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Huh.
All right.
Too bad. They missed out.
We are off, but that's
cool.
Fine.
Yeah. All right. I don't...
So that's where I'm going to go with things.
Works for me.
I don't think it's going to be huge, big changes in a lot of ways.
No. And frankly, I'm not worried about that. I'm truly not. That's the nice thing about simply having a conversation.
Yeah, I'm not looking for, your address or anything.
Well, that reminds me. I've got to go find that damn thing now. I know I've gotten an email because it was way back when I first got involved with, let me see here. When I first got involved with ACP, and you sent me names and addresses of everybody.
Yep, I have it sitting right here, except for I lost the one that I have that has the current board written on it.
Oh, and I don't know that I've got that one. Let's see, for exec committee, yes, there we go.
It's around somewhere. I'll find it eventually.
701 Notting Hill Way.
That's it. That's where I'm at.
That's the one. Cool.
What do you want?
I got you covered, kid.
No. I got two dogs that said they want to go out.
I see. Okay. Actually, we gave
them chew bones yesterday, and all three of them have runs and farts like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, is that right? Oh man.
Oh my God.
We've got the dogs lost their Kong. I don't know, probably a couple of months ago. So we just got a new one for them today, and they are just having a ball with it. One of those ones that you could put a milk bone or something in the middle of it, and they just content themselves for hours trying to get all that out. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
It is going on 8-year time.
Yes, it is.
Twitter goes down in 3 hours.
Ooh, that's right, it does.
And I have... a petition due.
Okay. In that case, you need to get busy, and I'm going to go see if there's any tweets that I need to respond to, and
we'll talk to you
later.
Everybody, have a good evening.
All right. Night now.
Later.